one sad reality of maintaining a long-running application, something that's been alive for many years, is just the potential or the almost certainty that debt will accrue. And this is why you hear about it all the time, because it happens despite your best intentions. It's incredibly difficult to avoid, especially if halfway through, maybe you migrate to a different library or a different framework, or this one technique or tool or approach you were using way back then is no longer valid now, but you haven't fully removed it, so there's traces of it still in the code base. And over time, if you're not careful, it will weigh you down. So in the last week, I've been focusing quite a bit on some basic performance improvements to Laracast. There's a handful of things I wanted to address, and I have been working through them. There's a couple animation-related things that have been annoying me. But other than that, I've actually made quite a bit of progress in the last couple of weeks. So I thought in this podcast, I'd go over them very quickly. And then, in fact, I might actually turn this into a full performance-focused Laracast series. Let's start with the most easiest one you can tackle right now. And that's, of course, image optimization. It's funny, I don't see it much anymore. But years ago, you used to see forum threads all the time where backend developers, like PHP developers, would argue as to the performance hit or improvement if you use single quotes or double quotes, or if you swap out the while statement for a for statement or something like that, for each versus for. And what's so funny is, like, that is the last thing, even back then, that is the last thing you should be focusing on. It doesn't matter. There's a stack of concerns you should focus on first. And yeah, image optimization is like number one on the list. So if you are building a website and you're grabbing images, whether it's being saved on Photoshop or you're downloading it from a place like Graphic River, you need to take time to optimize those. Now, you can do it manually. You could use a SaaS. There's a number of different online services that will do it automatically for you. But at least to start, just do it manually. And there's no shortage of tools to help you. You can add it as part of your Webpack build, or there's even standalone apps you can use, like Image Optim. This is an app for the Mac. You basically drag an image in there, and it will override it and perform lossless compression. So it will reduce the size as much as possible without reducing the visual quality of it. Another one I often use is Image Alpha. I'm pretty sure it's by the same team, but this will optimize your transparent PNG files significantly, by the way. It could take something that is 250K, which is way too big, and it'll reduce it to 40K or something like that. And you can even use a scale to incrementally reduce the size. And you keep going back and forth. Okay, do I notice a difference? Nope, let's go down a little more. And you would be shocked at the file reduction that you see. Across all of your images, you might reduce the size by half a megabyte even. It just depends how many images you are using. But this is 100% something that should be part of your workflow. If you can automate it, do it. Otherwise, just make sure there is a step where you drag all your images into an app like that to optimize things as much as possible. Now, continuing with image performance, what if you could defer the loading of any of your images below the fold until the user scrolls to that point? So, for example, at Laracast.com, you load that page, you see the home, modern developer, whatever the slogan is, but if you scroll down, there is a section for testimonials, and I have like 50 different images there. Now, in fact, I could probably make that sprite. Honestly, I just don't, though. They're pretty small photos or avatars. Each one is about 5K. But when you have 50 of them, they can add up. So these are the sorts of things you should be thinking about. When the user loads the page, do I need to load all of those testimonials? Do I need to, in fact, load any image that is below the fold? Because often the user loads the page and they immediately click somewhere else. They never scroll the page. But you still download all of those assets every time they load the page. So this is where image lazy loading comes into play. Now, I think in a perfect world, this should be the realm of a browser optimization, something that they do automatically for you. And in fact, there are being steps taken. So for example, in Google Chrome, there is an experimental feature where for any image, you can add what is the attribute? I believe the attribute is loading, and then you can set a value of lazy for any image tag there. And that basically instructs the browser that it can defer the loading of that image until it's necessary, until the user is scrolled to the point of viewing it. But I'm not sure the progress there. I know it's still an experimental feature. It's going to happen. But I'm still not sure what cross-browser compliance looks like. So instead, you might want to stick with a dedicated lazy loading library. The one I use is called Lozad. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's L-O-Z-A-D. So click on that. It's an NPM package you install. It's very easy to set up. Literally within 5 minutes of setup, you can defer the loading of all of those images. And if you want to test it out, all you have to do, of course, load the page in Google Chrome, open up Chrome DevTools with Shift-Command-C. You'll go to your network tab, click on your images, and then just scroll the page. And if everything's working, as you get to each image below the fold, you should see that request take place to pull in the image. So basically what's happening here is behind the scenes, the library is taking advantage of the Intersection Observer API. You don't really need to know anything about it other than it's a JavaScript API that basically allows you to calculate when the user has scrolled the page, or more specifically, like when an element is now visible to the user. So if you want to say, I need to figure out when the user can see the footer of my website, once they've scrolled low enough to see my footer, you could use the Intersection Observer API for that. But yeah, behind the scenes, the Lozad library is going to be doing that. And again, you don't need to know anything about it other than how to instantiate it. It works great, and do not underestimate the performance improvement you'll see as a result. Now, actually, one quick note on that. I'll probably cover this in the series, but if you implement this, you may see like a flash of a broken image. Just very, very short. When the page loads, it'll look like a broken image, and then it will swap out to the real image. All you have to do is write a little bit of CSS. You could add maybe an opacity transition. So initially, the image is set to an opacity of 0, but after it's loaded, you could set the opacity to 1. And then on the image, you set a transition of opacity for a third of a second. It's kind of hard to explain in the podcast, but there are ways to target that very easily. And as it turns out, with Lozad, once it has loaded the image, it will add an attribute to the tag that you can then use in your style sheet to target. I can't remember what it is. It's something like data loaded. So yeah, you could say image, img, tag, bracket, data loaded, close bracket, opacity is 1. And that will get rid of that broken image issue. And in fact, it makes your site look cool because you see all of the images fade in as the user scrolls. Okay, what else? One issue to be concerned with is your bundle size. And this has hit me as well. Again, it's just one of the realities of maintaining a project for years and years. You keep every once in a while pulling in something. Well, I need to do this. There's a NPM package for it. I'll pull that in. And one scary aspect of that is so often you don't really know what you're pulling in. So think about it. With PHP in a composer package, it doesn't really matter what the size of it is. It's not going to affect the performance of your application. But the same is not true for an NPM package you pull in. And if you're not careful and if you don't install the proper tooling, you pull something in and you don't even really know how big it is or how small it is. But then 6 months down the line, maybe you run your build and you notice, oh my gosh, my compiled JavaScript file is over a megabyte large. We can't have that. So again, these are things to be aware of. Now, I have two tips here. One, install the, there's one for Visual Studio Code and there's one for PHP Storm. It's a plugin called Import Cost. I think that's what it is. And in fact, in Visual Studio Code, it might be available you know what? I don't think it is. But anyways, what they do is when you import a package, almost like as a comment to the right, like a editor comment, it will tell you the size or the cost of the package you're pulling in. So you can use this to maybe you're formatting a date and you pull in something like the moment library. Well, very quickly you can see, oh my goodness, that is a really large package. And all I'm doing is formatting a date very, very lightly. Maybe I don't need to pull in something that large for such a basic task. That's what plugins like that can offer you. And in fact, I bet there's one for Sublime too. I just haven't looked. Now, if you don't want to use either of those packages, I recommend going to a website called bundlephobia.com. Now, this is actually pretty sharp. What you can do is basically load your existing package.json file for your application. It will read it, and it will then spit out the cost or the size in order for all of your dependencies. So it'll give you a quick bird's eye view as to what the most expensive packages you have installed. So immediately you can see like, oh, you know what? I'm only using this one thing. Maybe chart.js. This is one that I pulled out. I realized it's very large, and I actually had it as part of my core bundle, even though I'm only using it in three different places. That's dumb. There's no reason to pull in something that large if I'm only using it in the settings area, right? We should delay the loading of something like that as long as possible. So that's something that Bundle Phobia can help with. Here's another example. We were talking about the Moment library. That is an NPM package that will help you format dates and times. Now, it's very, very powerful, but it comes with a cost. It's a large package. So you may decide, if you're only accepting a date time and you just want to format it as, you know, day, month, year, something super basic, you probably don't need it. So you should research and see, are there smaller alternatives that will allow me to remove potentially 60 or 70K from my build? So in this example, maybe you could swap it out with the, I believe it's called Day.js. Let me look this up. Day.js, is that it? Yeah, it's like a microscopic little library. I think it's 2 or 3K. And it has very much the same API as Moment.js, but fewer of the bells and whistles that very likely you're not even using in the first place. So you may find, for things like that, if you take 20 minutes, you swap it out, you remove Moment, suddenly your build is 100K smaller. And I know that may not sound like much of an improvement, but trust me, it is. My next recommendation would be to remove superfluous little features and components. So for example, on the Laracast website, for a couple of years now, if you scroll the page, you would see like a featured series section. And I had that set up as a big carousel with arrows, and you could click and drag it almost like your fingers were touching it. You could scan all of the different featured series. But then, you know, I started realizing people aren't really doing that. They may click it once or twice, but they're not using it to browse the site. Yet I'm still making them install this somewhat costly carousel library. And then I'm setting up a component that loads it and puts everything into place. There's CSS related to it, all to offer kind of a cool, nice-to-have feature that isn't overly useful. Again, it's just something where it's more cool to get it working rather than it being overly helpful. So reconsider things like that. Ask yourself, did we implement this because it's kind of cool to figure out how to do it? Or did we implement it because it actually helps the user? And you'll come to different conclusions based on what you're dealing with. But in that particular case, I started thinking, I just can't justify pulling in that library, adding that CSS, adding that view component, all to offer a little carousel on the homepage that you're 90% likely to never click on. It's not worth it. So getting rid of it, once again, reduced my bundle size. And then let's just do one more. My last tip, especially for long-running applications, is you have to be diligent about retiring old tools and old libraries and old frameworks. And trust me, I understand this is not the easiest thing in the world, but often, even if it takes you a half day, 4 or 5 hours, I think it's worth it to be able to retire some of these older tools. Even something like jQuery. I'm not even saying jQuery is deprecated or anything. It's not. People use it across the board. It is an excellent choice. But I started to realize, hey, I used jQuery when Laracast was originally built, but now I almost exclusively use Vue or vanilla JavaScript for everything else. So again, you can end up with a situation where a portion of your code base still uses the old syntax or the old tool or the old library, and the newer code you've written uses the new stuff. And you want to say you'll go back and rewrite some of that stuff and migrate it over, and you should. But also, there's a good argument to be made that just don't worry about it until you need to. I know that doesn't sound great, but often that's just the reality. It's fine. It's working for now. You'll deal with it when you need to go back to it. But until then, you can worry about these 10 other things. But nonetheless, try to find time to address those. So when I was looking at my jQuery usage, it was almost exclusively basic DOM queries. So things like the jQuery selector, hash, posts, you know, just to quickly do a document query selector. But again, you don't need that anymore. Or you could write your own little helper function that will defer to document.querySelector or query selector all. You can use the basic JavaScript API and it's just fine. So it was mostly that stuff and mostly AJAX queries like jQuery.post or jQuery.AJAX. So what you may find, especially if you're a Laravel developer, is do you have jQuery? And then you also pulled in like the Axios library. It's possible you have both of those going at the same time, which means if you take a little time to migrate all of those jQuery.AJAX calls over to Axios calls, once you're done, you can completely retire jQuery from your project or whatever it happens to be. I'm not picking on jQuery at all because I love jQuery, but you will get to a point where you simply aren't using certain tools or libraries anymore. Why make the user pay the cost to download those if they don't need to? Especially if it only takes you a handful of hours to remove that cost for life. At least consider it. All right, that's it for the podcast. But I do think I'm going to turn this into a full series because these are the sorts of things I would have appreciated when I was starting to build websites. All right, this is the Laracast Snippet. My name is Jeffrey Way, and I'll see you next time.